Melrose Live. ESPN's weekly recap of all things NHL. Welcome in ESPN hockey analyst Barry Melrose.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of the Melrose Line. Can't believe I'm here again, Barry.
Every week, Ej.
EJ Raddick here alongside Barry Melrose, and I'm honored to have this. I guess you just haven't had enough. You haven't been able to get me out of here yet. There must be some reason why I'm still here doing this with you.
Nah, you're the perfect guy.
I work for nothing.
You work for nothing, and you know just enough to be dangerous.
There you go. Well, Barry, thanks for having me again. Our good friend and colleague Joy Russo will not be here this week. She is busy. So we will go it alone, as they say.
We will try to muddle through.
Now, how you been? How was the week for you? You were up in Albany last weekend.
I did the regional for college hockey. I had Denver, RIT, and Cornell, UNH.
What happened to Cornell? You were singing their praises.
Cornell was not good.
I like that. Not good.
You know, the goaltending Scrivens, who I thought was awesome, he struggled. They played UNH at the start, a team that they'd handled very, very well during the regular season. They won right in New Hampshire. And you
saw that game. Didn't
I
you
saw
do that game?
That's why I thought Cornell looked great. And they were playing in Albany, and UNH just came out. Bobby Butler had a great game. He just signed with the Ottawa Senators.
Yep.
He scored two goals in that game, and Cornell started okay. The first period was a very good game, but after that, UNH just took over. Very disappointing Cornell, and very disappointing Denver, for a team that was rated number one most of the season and number two in college.
Yeah, they were high in the top couple there with Miami.
Two guys are in the finals for the Hobie Baker and Rakhchani and Cheverie, the goaltender. RIT came out, had a great game plan. They're the New Jersey Devils. They're a very veteran team. Their youngest kid on the team is 20 years old. They're a defense first team. They scored first and just shut Denver down. They did the same thing against UNH. So RIT is a great story. First time in the tournament, bang, they win their first two games and they go to the Frozen Four. They make it look very easy. But hockey was very good. A lot of good young players. You're seeing players from Cornell. Nash, Brendan Nash just signed an NHL contract. That's Riley Nash's brother. Riley Nash, the first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But RIT, full marks. They're a great story. It's good to see. The fans were great from RIT. They brought down 400 or 500. And I expect to see tons more up in Detroit.
I got to give a little shout out to one of the defensemen on the team, Chris Saraceno.
Very good, played very, very well.
From St. Louis, yep. Missouri, and a good friend of mine, Tom Wheatley, who used to cover the Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. When I've been in town, he's taken me into the pancake. I guess I don't know the exact is it pancakes and dining, but it's Saraceno family. I think owns it, and they've been involved with hockey there. The St. Louis, they're producing a lot
much.
Of hockey players these days.
Well, if they specialize in pancakes, it's got to be a good restaurant.
There you go.
But St. Louis is producing a lot of players. They've got Ben Bishop is from St. Louis. Cam Jansen's from St. Louis.
Yep.
So St. Louis is starting to produce, as is Texas. You're starting
a lot of cities
in college
in the
hockey.
States.
You're starting to see a lot of kids from L.A., Huntington Beach. That Rakhchani kid who's one of the finalists for the Hobie, he's from Huntington Beach.
There's a kid, Emerson Eatem, that is from the Los Angeles area. He plays in the Western Hockey League. I think he's with Medicine Hat. He's going to be a top 15 pick this year in the draft, oddly enough, in Los Angeles this year.
L.A. to Medicine Hat. I've been in both places. That's culture shock.
That's right. You have been. You coached in both
places.
That's right.
I had success in both those places. So it's Medicine Hat's a great hockey town and a good place for a young kid who's trying to get on with his hockey career. But like I said, we've got RIT, you've got Wisconsin, you've got BC, and you've got Miami of Oxford. Who had to go into double overtime to win their game.
Yeah,
so,
against Michigan,
You got three number one seeds and RIT, so the 16th seed in the tournament. It's going to be a wild and wacky few days in Detroit.
Yeah, RIT opens with Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
And I think that's going to be a tough one because you know what? They're not going to sneak up now on Wisconsin because Wisconsin's Mike Eaves, the coach there, is going to have a good 10 days to look at the video of RIT and he's going to be able to impress on his players. Hey, they beat Denver. They beat New Hampshire. I mean, if we want to join that group, let's just take them lightly. So I think they'll be prepared for RIT.
And they only gave up two or three goals in the tournament to those two high-powered offenses.
Yeah.
The goaltender, DeMichael, is from Torrington, Connecticut. I drive through Torrington every time I go to Glens Falls.
A little shout-out to him.
From Bristol. He's a great goaltender. Best goalie in the tournament, I thought, by far. And he's a great story. Went to Avon Old Farms.
Okay.
Was back up to Jonathan Quick.
Oh,
so he hardly played. Then he went to United States Junior League and yeah. didn't play a lot there.
Uh-huh.
And his first couple of years at RIT, he didn't play much. Uh-huh. So, really, he's
getting an opportunity
getting
and taking advantage of it.
And playing very, very well.
Hey, you know, it's funny. You brought up, too, about their team. We'll have one more thing about college, and we'll move on to the NHL. Is you say that RIT is a veteran team and their youngest guy is 20. That's one of those things that fans, you know, they might not know about college hockey is what happens a lot of times now is the kids go and play in that USHL to kind of improve their grades or they come in later. And a lot of kids who play college hockey, they're not the 18-year-old fresh face you might have thought you're seeing in college hockey. They might be 23, 24 years old.
Only 25 years old. Only a couple teams still, you know, the North Dakotas and those places still get the elite young kids. But what happens is you only have them for a year or two at the most.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to decide, are we better off to bring in older kids and have them for 4 years?
And build the program.
And build the program.
And really compete. And
because
yeah.
sort of like North Dakota, they get a lot of ink because of all the first-round picks they have. But they're retooling every 2 years.
Yeah, Minnesota's kind of like that.
Minnesota used to be like that. Minnesota used to be like that.
Are they changing now?
Yeah, because they haven't been winning. And,
yeah.
and Minnesota, Michigan was always like that. They always had great young stars out of Michigan. Michigan made the tournament this year only because they won their own tournament.
Yeah.
But they were dispatched pretty quickly. So,
well, they won. They were strong down the stretch, and they gave Miami all they could ask for.
They had a
double overtime game.
It would have been nice to see a Michigan school in the tournament, but
hey, you know, Miami, we got to
go. Cheer for Rico Blasi after that loss they had last year to BC or BU. If the hockey gods are looking upon this, that was one of the toughest losses I've seen in sports. So you got to hope that Rico Blasi's team has a good chance and has a chance to win.
Two goals. What was it? Two goals. They were had a two goal lead
in
the
last
minute of the game.
They tied it up in the last minute. Two goals in the last minute, and then you knew BU was going to score in overtime. And Gilroy shot the puck, and they scored in overtime.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what, watch, I can remember that game, and I've never seen a game where a team looked like it really just froze. They looked like they just froze in those last few minutes.
Yeah, because BU wasn't even in it. They weren't getting any chances. Miami had just...
Miami had taken a two-goal lead late, right? Because it was one-goal lead, and they scored like 4 minutes left to make it a two-goal lead.
And it looked like it was over. That's what happens, and you're exactly right. Just the one goal completely changed Miami's outlook. They became very passive.
Yep.
They just stood around in front of the net. They really looked like deer in the headlights, BU with their skill level, they got away, and you got to give BU credit. They could have quit, and they could have packed in when they're two goals down. They never did that.
Yep. All right, let's get on to the NHL. We're coming down the stretch here, the battling for playoff positioning. So let's start there at the bottom of each conference. Let's start in the East because that one is really kind of crazy. It's almost like a turtle race watching these teams crawl to the finish line. We've got Boston, we've got Montreal, we've got Philadelphia in playoff spots. And then we've got Atlanta and the Rangers at this point as we're taping. They're chasing right behind. What do you think?
Well, Atlanta's 2 points out. Rangers are 4 points out. Rangers have the easiest schedule. Atlanta has 5 games left. They play Washington twice and Pittsburgh twice. So you got to write Atlanta off, unfortunately. But the Rangers are 4 points behind. They're 6 games left. So what has to happen is then the Rangers basically have to win. They have to get 5 points.
Yeah.
Because I think Philly and Montreal have them in wins, which is the first tiebreaker. So that means if Boston goes 3-3, the Rangers have to basically go 5-0-1.
Yeah.
That's going to be very tough to do. The Rangers and they play Philly. The only good thing is they play Philly 2 games at the end of the season.
So if they can be within 3 points of Philly, because if they lose the tiebreaker, they'd have to get inside of 4 points.
So
and even then. You can't lose in overtime then because Philly gets that extra point.
Philly gets the extra point. Again,
and regulation wins.
So that's why, you look at it, well, they're only 4 points out, but 6 games left is going to be very tough to do it. And the Rangers haven't shown us any reason to believe they can win 6 games in a row.
Yeah.
And those, Philly was really falling there, and then bang, they go and beat the Devils 5-1.
Yeah.
And played really, really well. So, right now I would say that Philly will finish 8th. Probably Montreal 6th and Boston 7th. That's the way it looks right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tuukka Rask is playing great for Boston.
He
out-dueled Marty Brodeur last night.
1-0 game on Monday night or Tuesday night in New Jersey.
Bergeron scored in
overtime
to get the win. So that was a huge win for Boston. So I like Boston's goaltending. I like Montreal's special teams. And Montreal's been getting great goaltending. The vulnerable team is Philly with their goaltending and with their injuries. They have Carter's out for a month, so that's 35, 40 goals that are very tough to replace.
So I agree with you. I think the teams that
are in. It's just
will be in now. It's just a matter of where they're going to finish.
And again, you don't want to finish 8th. Because you get Washington.
Yeah.
You know, or you don't want to probably finish seventh because you're going to end up getting Pittsburgh.
Perhaps, yeah, because so, Pittsburgh and New Jersey
are
still battling
back
for that
forth,
division
yeah.
title there. And
yeah. Well, Pittsburgh, this is Wednesday. Pittsburgh's got Tampa tonight. You know, you can't lose to teams behind you. Colorado, who are playing for their playoff lives, got Ducks tonight. You got to beat the teams behind you.
Yeah.
You can't lose to those teams that are out of the playoffs. Look at Chicago, lost back-to-back games to Columbus. Columbus has won four games in a row now.
I know. Of course, this is the time of year to get hot once you're eliminated.
Once you're playing for
They're
jobs.
They're eliminated, and it doesn't mean anything.
Play
you
lose.
Get hot.
Yep.
You know what happens? I'm always wary of teams that have, you know, have good finishes to the season when they're out of it. Because, like, yeah, you could say that, well, they got, you know, they're starting to find their way. But I tend to say, well, they're playing teams that don't really look at them that highly on the schedule. You're playing against the backup goalie a lot of time.
Yep.
You know, teams aren't focused on playing you. So I throw those things out when I see them.
Well, look at, since the Olympic break, Toronto, Carolina.
Yeah.
Those teams have the best records.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. And the Islanders are playing well since
they're
the Olympic
loose,
break.
And you know, and nobody, like I say, nobody gets up for them.
Yeah, and
how do you get up for them?
And these guys, you know, they're like I said, they're playing for jobs, but you take chances and you do things that you play loose. And when you're a loose team, you know, if your goalie stops a breakaway, bang, you down score at the other end. But Stallberg kid for Toronto got two last night, the kid that played in Vermont last year.
Yep.
So those, you know, you can't take those nights off. You know, how many, you know, they all want to be spoilers. And Toronto wants to keep getting points because they're not going to get the first pick anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
They don't care.
That's right. That doesn't do them any good to lose right
exactly.
now. Let's go to the West and look at the bottom there of that race. And, right now, the way it looks is, the Colorado Avalanche and LA Kings have kind of, they've just slumped a little bit. So they've fallen into that seventh and eighth spot. And, you know, fortunately for them, Calgary had some really tough losses last week. I mean, to go into Long Island when they have to win, the Islanders had lost the night before to the Rangers 5-0. Calgary comes in, had the day off, the whole thing, and they lose to the Islanders. Then they mail one in against Boston and get hammered in Boston. They did come back with a win against Washington on Sunday. But they could be further along in the standings if they could get out of their own way a little bit. But instead, they're a couple points back. Do you give Calgary any chance to kind of leapfrog over an L.A. or a Colorado?
Yeah, I do, because... Because
you love Calgary. You've been loving them all year,
Calgary.
Even though I try to tell you they're no good.
And, like I said, Colorado Wednesday night's got the Ducks. You know, if Colorado happens to lose that game, you know...
And then they play Calgary.
Then they play Calgary.
Yeah.
And I think Colorado and L.A., the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, their youth is starting to show.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing... You know, they're playing games they have to win now. You know, we laughed about it, but they've been in the playoffs all season long.
That's right. The playoffs started for those teams on October 5th.
And they've been great. Anderson's been great. Anderson has been so lately. They're not scoring the way they did.
Yeah.
And these kids now, you know, the worst thing to do is look in the paper every day.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, well, Calgary's 8 points behind. We got it.
Yeah.
Calgary's 6 points behind. We're still okay.
Yeah.
Calgary's 4 points behind.
Yeah.
You know, so, both those teams have to win some games.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta think Calgary, I'll be very surprised if Calgary doesn't go 4-2 the last six games. You know, so, you know, if, as long as Colorado or LA go
3-3,
they're in. They're in.
Yeah.
But, all of a sudden, if they lose tonight.
Or if they go 2-4, they're probably in based on things.
But I'll tell you, you lose one and then it just gets tighter and tighter, the grip on, they're looking nervous. They're playing nervous right now and you can't do that. Veteran teams right now, they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch the Devils play right now. They're getting better and better. And
Red Wings. Playing great.
I like the, Vancouver's playing good right now. Mm-hmm. Sedin got 3 points Tuesday night, looked very, very good. So, you know, Colorado, like I said, I think tonight Wednesday night against the Ducks is a pivotal game for Colorado. I think they need to win that badly.
You know, something about Colorado, too, because there's been a lot of talk about the Hart Trophy, and maybe we'll get in this as we before we finish today. But, you know, you can make a great case for Craig Anderson.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because he faces a lot of shots. It's 32, 33 shots a night they get on average. So there's a lot of nights when there's more than that. And he was so good early in the year, and I've been watching like you that down the stretch, and he hasn't been quite as good. Like every night now, there's a goal that maybe he was stopping, a couple wraparounds, and it shows you the margin of error that here's Craig Anderson. He's still playing well, but not quite as well as he was playing earlier, and all of a sudden there's a struggle there. I mean, that'd be my worry in Colorado is that if Craig Anderson isn't as good as he was early in the year, that's the big problem for them.
Hey, a good goalie is going to make you a good coach. A bad goalie is going to get you fired.
Exactly.
That's exactly how sports is. And Anderson, without a doubt, is Colorado's MVP. I think he should get some look towards the MVP of the league, as should Brizgalo.
Yeah,
the guy in
absolutely.
Phoenix has been fantastic. 100 points. Phoenix got 100 points.
I know.
They
didn't even have a coach at the start of the season.
But I'll tell you,
at the start of the preseason.
You watch Colorado and L.A., like, you're going to find out about their team now. Who are for real? You know, it's easy to play when everything's going great and you're winning and life's a big bowl of cherries and everything's fine. Now when the hands are tightening around your throat, you're finding out who's making plays, mm-hmm. who's getting the puck out, who's blocking shots. This is when you find out who are the real leaders of the team. This is a real, from a coaching point of view, I love watching this time of the year to see who excels and who shrinks back. You really find out a lot about the teams right now.
Let me ask you this about your former team, the LA Kings, is they've had, you know, a little bit of a struggle, but they were 0-3-1 coming into a big game in Nashville. They haven't had a lot of success with the Predators on the whole, but they go in there and they win 2-0. And Jonathan Bernier, who was in the minors for most of the season, he's a former first-round pick in 06. I think he was 11th overall. Guy's been in the minors, and he has just been ripping up the AHL. His save percentage in the AHL this year in about 55 or 60 games is 9.36. So he's been really good in the minors. He comes in and gives you a shutout against Nashville. What do you think, Barry? I mean, you know, do you roll with a young guy like that who you have a lot of high hopes for and has been playing well in the minors, or should you just go right back to Quick?
Well, first off, Nashville was 8-1-1 going into that game.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Nashville. They're as hot a team as there is in the league right now. I think with Bernier, you would probably ride him. You got to reward him for playing like that.
Yeah.
And it might be good if we're Quick to get a kick in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, a young guy, you know, maybe he's come off, maybe he feels a little tired, so he's come off his work habits a little bit in practice, things like that. So, you know, professionals play every night.
Yeah.
You watch Marty Brodeur. Marty Brodeur plays 75 games a year. He's ready to play 75 games a year.
Yeah.
And not take a night off. So these young goaltenders, you know,
It's a learning experience.
And not only, at this time of the year, it's not your physical skills that you're worried about, it's your mental makeup.
Yeah.
You know, to be ready to play every night and handle the pressure of knowing that you can't give up a soft goal. That's stuff you learn. Experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't come, you know, that. So, you know, you got to experience good times, you got to experience bad times. So Bernier walked into a tough building against a team that's playing very well and he won.
34 saves.
So you'd think that they would come back with the kid and give him another chance, as a reward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Terry Murray does there. They play Vancouver on Thursday night, so I'm looking forward to that.
Getting back to something like that, Timmy Thomas had a shutout, 5-0 shutout, played great.
Yeah.
So they came back with him, and he was pulled after halfway through the first period.
You know, I'll tell you what, though. He had a tough goal there, one went threw a guy's arm and hit somebody, and he never even saw it.
No, well, they were all tip-ins, and they were all bouncing pucks, but, you know, the third goal, it was a side-to-side play, and he came across, almost made a spectacular save, and went in. That's when they pulled him. But Rask came in. It was 3-0 at the time, or 3-1 at the time. Rask came in and shut him out the rest of the game. Ended up 3-2. So, Rask is their goalie.
Yeah.
He's been great. I thought he played great last night, in that game and against the Devils was really solid. You watch Rask, you expect him to make every save.
Yeah.
You know, he really has emerged as the number one goaltender in Boston.
If there's a team out there in the offseason, because it's not obviously trade deadline has passed now, but, I just like Timmy Thomas. He's such a competitor, and he's had such a great story. You know, there's a team like Philadelphia needs a goalie, or some of these teams that needs a goalie, and maybe there's a trade that can be worked out. Because I don't think Timmy Thomas wants to spend the next 3 years, the end of his career now. 3 years left on his contract, still a guy that's... I think Timmy Thomas is still a good goaltender. Somebody that needs a goalie might be interested in making a trade for
him. And Timmy's not a money collector. He just doesn't want to sit back.
Yeah.
He's finally got a payday.
He
wants to play. But again, you're right with Philly. It would have to be a trade because of the cap space. They don't have the room to pick. I think Timmy makes about $5 million.
Yeah, or Chicago, one of these teams. Or if there's trouble in Washington this year in the playoffs where they struggle. Like in the offseason, there's a lot of teams
Timmy. There's a lot of teams right now and good teams that have goaltending questions.
Yeah.
And you know... And Chicago's questions, Washington's question mark. You look in the East, you know, Philadelphia question marks, Montreal, their question mark is who do you keep?
Halleck or
Price. So, there's a lot of teams with goaltender question marks coming into play.
Like in the summer, you know, when everybody has time to look at things, I mean, Timmy has 3 years left. He's got about $5 million on his deal. So, I mean, that's a sizable sum to take, but it's a guy who won the Vezina Trophy only last year. And for teams that don't have anybody near as good as him, might be worth making that deal. And Boston is looking for some scoring help, so maybe there's a deal there.
And again, Timmy, when you play goal for Boston, they're the lowest scoring team in the NHL.
Yeah.
You got to win 1-0, 2-1 games.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure night in, night out to have on you.
If I'm Philly, you know, and I heard this rumor, I think it was Kevin Ball DuPont in the Boston Globe mentioned it about like a Simon Gagné for Timmy Thomas. I mean, maybe that makes some sense because Simon Gagné has had some injury issues. Hasn't quite been the same guy. He's been in the league a little while now. Maybe you sacrifice him. You know that you still got Carter and Richards and Briere and some of these guys. And you bring in a Tim Thomas, and he could be your guy for the next 3 years.
And Simone might need a new change. He's been in Philly a long time, and he might need a new atmosphere and a team that believes he's a goal scorer again. I'm not sure, Philly believes he's a 30 goal scorer anymore. He's not right now. Yeah. But he's
a
guy.
He's not the same guy, Barry. He's had a lot of injuries.
So picking a guy like that up with a concussion situation is a tough thing to do.
And that would be a money kind of thing where it could work for both sides. But we'll move on from that. Let's look at the top of the conferences too, because we talked about it on our ESPN news spot about Chicago. We'll start there. They've had some struggles down the stretch. In the second half here now, since the break, only 5-7-2. They're giving up more goals than they're getting now, which isn't good. They're averaging about 3.5 goals against right now. They've had some injuries. Brian Campbell's out. Kim Johnson is out. Brent Seabrook was out for a little while, but he's back playing now. You feel that like they're just maybe bored by things right now. When you look at the Blackhawks, I mean, what do they have to do to kind of find their way again as we get to the playoffs?
They got to start playing with playoff intensity. Every team they're playing now has that intensity. Even Columbus, who beat Chicago twice, they're one of those teams that we talked about, like Carolina and Toronto. They're loose. They're playing for jobs. They're trying to show management that you should keep these guys. And they're taking tons of chances and they're getting good goaltending. Chicago is, and I've heard Chicago say this, every team we're playing is playing for their life. We're not. And I think things have come a little too easy for the Blackhawks and Joel Quenneville's got 6 games. To come down on these guys and they're playing like Washington. Washington's lost 3 games in a row too.
Yep.
They're not taking care of their own end. They're giving up way too many chances. They're getting lots of offensive chances, but in so doing, they're giving up 2-on-1s and 3-on-2s the other way. So this is a good chance for Joel to really come down hard on these guys and spank them a little bit and get them ready for the playoffs. You know they're going to finish in the top 4. But they're not playing a good style of hockey right now. And I'm a firm believer. I say this year in and year out. And Detroit's a great example. Nashville's a great example. It's much more important how you're playing than where you finish.
Yeah.
I would much rather, believe it or not, finish without home ice and be playing great.
Playing well, right?
And because you can easily go into that building and win the first game of the series against a team that's not quite sharp and bang, then all of a sudden.
And it puts the pressure on that team, right?
So,
I mean, you don't want to be down in your own building.
So those are the teams I always pick when we're doing our handicap and going into playoffs are the teams that are playing well. I always look at them for upsets because it's important how you're playing.
And this year too, because of the break, the Olympic break, we had a defined break in the season of a couple weeks, so we can really look at the numbers as they start to add up now over these final 6 weeks. And going into the playoffs, we'll have a real good snapshot of where these teams are. We'll know how their power play is doing in recent weeks. I mean, Chicago's right now is at about 14.8, somewhere along those lines. I mean, that's not good for the Chicago Blackhawks. They're a team that they were doing much better on the power play early in the year when Brian Campbell's at. I mean, that's one of the places where he does help.
That is the place.
Yeah.
That's the place. Now they got Bufflin back there on a second unit. And again, Chicago's a team that has to have a good power play because teams take a lot of penalties against them.
Yep.
Their speed creates a lot of penalties. And I'll tell you, if their power play is great, you have to change how you play against Chicago.
That's right.
And if you don't respect their power play, you can be much more aggressive against them and be a lot tougher to play against. So they got to get that power play straightened out. And they got to get better in their own end. The exact same things that's happened with Washington are happening with Chicago. Neither team has really been playing for anything for a long time. And I think Bruce Boudreau and Joel Quenneville are both in the same situation that they can really come down hard and their teams practice hard. And the players can't complain because they're not playing good.
Yeah.
So they can come down, practice hard, really come down on them and really get them ready for the playoffs.
I think the good news for both of those teams finishing high in the conference, especially in the West, is that Chicago now I don't think they have to fear playing the Red Wings in the first round. I mean, if Chicago's likely going to finish second. So they might even finish first still, but they're likely going to finish they're going to face 7 or 8.
LA
Detroit looks like they're going to finish 5 or 6 now.
They came out and they've been the best team. The Zetterberg and Datsuta, the two highest scorers since the All-Star.
Jimmy
Howard's been great. So, I think Detroit will finish fifth or sixth. So it looks like Phoenix will get Detroit if they finish fourth.
Which would be unfortunate for our friends in Phoenix because we want to see them have a good year. It's been such a great story. That will be a real challenge for them. But Chicago, maybe they'll get like an inexperienced LA team, inexperienced Colorado team. And
I wouldn't want to play Nashville because remember Nashville gave Chicago a lot of trouble last year.
Yep.
Chicago won a couple games in OT. Didn't that go six
Nashville's
or seven games?
Nashville's one of those teams. They're well coached, and they got good goaltending. Those two horses on defense, they could match up.
Rennie's really playing well on net, too.
Yep, he's really playing well on net.
So Nashville gets no love from anybody, but I'll tell you, next to Detroit, that's a team I wouldn't want to play
It could be Nashville and Vancouver.
Vancouver,
which would be an interesting series. Two big, tall goaltenders there. And the Sedins would be matched up against Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. That would be a good series.
Well, you know what? You know, Colorado, if you play Colorado in first round, Colorado's fun to play. They're so fast.
And Anderson gets hot in a short series. I mean, next thing you know, you're at home.
But
and the same thing with LA with Quick. He plays well.
I'll tell you, it's just this is a scary time of year because, you know,
I like that look on your face. You got that little smile, that little sly grin.
Coaches will never say it, but there's teams they want to play.
Yeah.
There's teams, you know, you look at the Devils, Pittsburgh. Do you think the Devils fear playing Pittsburgh in the playoffs? No, they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins six times.
Uh-huh.
Washington's beat Pittsburgh three times.
Yeah.
That matters. You can say it doesn't matter, but you always have a good game plan against them, and you're very confident against them.
And let me ask you this. Going back to 93, you're in the conference finals with Toronto. You're in tooth and nail with them, and you end up going to Toronto and winning a big game seven. But in the back of your mind, were you thinking that, you know, I'd rather play the Islanders this year because Patrick Waugh, who wants to face him? Did you think at all about that, or were you so focused on that series you were in, which was a really dramatic series?
Before that, we thought we'd play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right.
Who thought the Islanders would beat Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
So we were just, you know, we were thinking, you know, well, we'll win and we'll play Pittsburgh in the finals. And then all of a sudden, the Islanders beat Pittsburgh.
That's right. And then they went and played Montreal.
And Montreal beat them pretty easily. And because you don't want to play Patrick Waugh.
Yeah.
So definitely we were cheering.
So those things do, absolutely come into play. They're not going to tell us in the media.
You're scoreboard watching and you're sitting in the room and, because you've already started, scouting. The two teams you might face, things like that. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. The coaches are thinking about that right now.
You know what's funny, too, is I talked to Jim Rutherford earlier in the week. I was working on a story for ESPN Magazine, and he mentioned to me, we were talking about the 06 run, and he said really the advice to everybody is just stay in the moment because you never know. And he said that, in 06 when they started the playoffs, they were worried about Ottawa. They were worried about Philadelphia in the East, those two teams they didn't match up with well. And then they were worried about playing Detroit in the final. Well, Ottawa and Philly both got knocked out. They never played them, and Detroit lost in the first round. They ended up playing Edmonton in the final. You just never know.
No.
Like, that's why you had that grin, is you just never know what's going to happen.
Who would have thought Pittsburgh would lose that year? They just won the Stanley Cup twice.
They had
an unbelievable regular season.
Yep.
They were healthy. They're playing the Islanders. Like, what the heck? You know, and I think part of the problem was Pittsburgh thought the exact same thing.
That's right. Your buddy Glenn Healy was in goal
Healy
for the
played
Islanders
great
and played well.
And
I don't even think Turgeon was the big Islander star, Pierre Turgeon.
No.
And he was hurt. Remember, he had gotten injured.
It was like I said, it was the playoffs are weird. Like, we had Edmonton, Carolina in the finals one year, or Calgary, and then Calgary, Tampa Bay.
That's right.
You know, like those, that's what.
Hard to predict sometimes.
Playoffs, again, that's why you play the games. And a hot goaltender can win you a series, and it becomes a battle of attrition. You know, sometimes a team with way more talent, the guys just decide, I can't do it for another round.
Yeah.
I just can't do this for another round. And that's where character comes in. Again, we say it all the time. It's the hardest trophy to win by a country mile. There's nothing even close to winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you know, I'll just add, too, I would be remiss if I didn't mention about those 93 playoffs. Our old friend Ray Ferraro was on the Islanders.
Ray played very well.
He assisted on the overtime goal that knocked out the Penguins. So
That was a phenomenal
That was a great playoff here because you guys had that great series with Toronto. And I mean, think about it. If you would have just stepped aside and let Toronto win, we would have had Toronto and Montreal in the finals.
Oh, I hear about it every time I go.
You must get beat up. Every
Maple Leaf fan I see, they blame me and they blame Carey Fraser.
Yeah. They don't blame Wayne Gretzky for getting a hat trick in that game.
No, they just say, that was our year. We were going to play Montreal in the finals. It was just a magical time.
I was out, by the way, as you know, at the Wayne Gretzky has a fantasy camp every year. It is his 8th annual camp. It was out in Las Vegas.
Yep.
Saw your buddy Cap Rader there, and I also saw Wayne, and he says pass along his regards to you, and always worried about his old coach there.
Gretz got quite a tournament there. We always laugh at it. The guys pay $9,999.99 to go to it, and it's great. Cap's been there every year. I was there the first couple of years. The people there are fanatics. These guys, they think they're playing for the Stanley Cup.
Well, he's got the Gretzky Cup there.
It's really something, and I always enjoyed, because Walter's there.
Yep,
and
he was there again.
And that's Wayne's dad, and Walter is a great man. So I always ate breakfast with Walter, and and talking hockey with him and stuff. So it's a good 4 or 5 days.
It was a terrific couple days for me to be out there, and I was actually playing a couple games, and I'm being as terrible as I am.
And you got a goal.
I had a goal, but I mean, really, you know, there's a good shot of me though. Wayne had to take a little hook at me.
Well, and the good thing is that they don't need to use the fast film. They can actually they can use the natural film on you and capture it.
I only want still photos now. At this point in my career, I only want still photos.
Because moving photos really aren't moving that much.
No, they're not. They can use the really slow film. Let's wrap it up. We had a good chat here, but as always, as is the way we do things here on the Melrose Line, we leave you with the last word. So, Barry Melrose, take it away.
Well, my favorite time of the year. You've got junior hockey in Canada. You've got the teams playing for the playoffs. Frozen Four coming in Detroit next week. And now these last games are so important. They're so intense. Every night changes who's in, who's out. If you're any kind of hockey fan right now, this has got to be, it's getting warmer outside. This is everybody's favorite time of the year, no doubt about it.
Log on to ESPN.com/podcenter or ESPNradio.com for more great podcasts.